Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
1 John chapter 2, verse 6. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians that we're going to go to in just a moment that Paul said, I've got this thing. And I've asked you three times, God, to take it away. I've asked you three times to heal me. I've asked you three times to touch my daughter. I've asked you three times, God, to deliver me. I've asked you three times, and you haven't answered me yet. And the only thing Paul said that God said to him after begging God three times to remove a thorn. Your thorn may be cancer. Your thorn may be addiction. Your thorn may be your marriage. Your thorn may be a lot of things. But no matter what your thorn is, God says to you this morning, my grace is sufficient for you. Now, 1 John 2 and 6 says, if you claim to be in him, how many of you claim to be a Christian? May I see your hands this morning? If you claim to be in him, and then it says you must first, underline that, first. If you have a Bible you can't write in, put that one in a museum and go buy you one you can. You must first, okay, first. Oh, it got my attention now. If I claim to be a Christian, I must first learn to walk like Jesus walked. Perfection, never sinning, never doing anything wrong. Is that what it's talking about? If you're in him, you must first learn to walk as Jesus walked. Well, let's take a deeper look at that, because if you're going to walk first the way Jesus walked, then maybe you've got a misunderstanding of what God really wants from you and requires of you with thorns. I don't think he's talking about being perfect. See this thing behind me? It bothers me sometimes. It does. I don't understand it. And you know what bothers me the most about this? I wonder why Jesus had to come in weakness. I mean, I don't mean to be vulgar, but just blunt. And I got to say what God's told me to say, and then we're done today. But I need to talk to you like you and I are drinking a cup of coffee this morning. They could have just slit his throat. Stabbed him. It was his blood that gave us salvation. So that troubles me on why he would have to come in such weakness. I mean, think about that. Those of you with thorns. So I'm in the right place. Who's got a thorn? I got my, I'm going to live up too. I got two thorns. Anybody got two thorns? Why would he have to come in weakness? I don't get it. He could have just died. Shed his blood. It would have been all it would take. One drop. That's it. It's over. But he didn't do that. Why did he have to come in weakness? It's because God chose to enter human history in complete weakness. It's the way that he disarmed. I know this is crazy, but that's the way he disarmed demons. Did you hear what I just said? I said, do you know how he disarmed? Anybody fighting the devil? Can I see hands? Let me tell you how Jesus disarmed the devil, the weakness. Goes completely against what you've been taught as a Westerner. A, B, C, A. God told me to tell you that he doesn't want you to be afraid of him. God actually wants you to come close. He wants you to learn and listen to my words, to rest in his intimacy. You know, it's kind of like a baby in its mama's arms. Oh, wait a minute. Huh. Maybe that's why he came as a baby. In the form of weakness. Moses, who's afraid of a baby? What is a baby? Completely dependent upon a mother that cares. The Bible says Jesus could have called 10,000 angels. But Stuart, he stood up there in weakness. In weakness. Why did Jesus have to die and come in weakness? B, because of the powerlessness of the manger, we understand the powerlessness of the cross. Do you know what you're looking at, ladies and gentlemen? Not a sex symbol that goes around your neck or gets tattooed on your leg. You're looking at the symbol of weakness. Now, for the life of me, I can't understand. I've been struggling with this. Why Jesus would have to come in weakness to get you and me? Why did he come in weakness? Well, take a good look at Matthew 5, because this is where Jesus reveals himself. It's the Beatitudes. I'll be standing in this very spot with many of you in just a few days. But he introduces himself and he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the gentle. Blessed are those that mourn. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers." It's actually a portrait of who Jesus is. But it's a portrait of powerlessness. In a world that says, if you want strength, you got to get powerful. You got to get the right job. You got to get the right education. You got to get the right title. You got to get the right, you have sex or money. You get power, you'll have strength. Well, God says, it's the powerlessness in your weakness that makes you powerful. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 7 through 11, where Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for you." It says, "Therefore, so that I would not exalt myself, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to torment me, so I would not exalt myself. Concerning this," he said, "I asked God three times to take away my thorn. But all he said back to me was, 'My grace is sufficient for you.'" But look at, listen to what else he said. "For my power is perfected in weakness." Now, I know this is crazy, and I know it doesn't make any sense to most of us, but the Bible says that it was through his weakness that he got power and defeated death, hell, and the grave. It was through his weakness that he was able to overcome, and it's through our weakness, not our strengths, not the fact you've got your act together, not the fact you've never screwed up, not the fact that you've never done anything wrong, but it's through your weakness, Brandon, good to see you. It's through your weakness that God is able to do great things through you. So if you got that mentality that I'll get close to God and then I'll do my quiet time, you're very foolish. Here's the truth. You won't hear this on Christian television. Here's the truth. Until you go to God in your brokenness on your worst sinful day and do a quiet time, you'll never know him. Until you come to God when you've made more mistakes than you could ever count during a period of 24 hours and fellowship with a Christian or spend time in prayer or lift your hands in worship, you're never going to understand the power of God to change you. Too many of us think that the power of God is falling out, or the power of God is speaking in tongues, or the power of God is related to winning 10,000 people to God. But my Bible says that the power of God is related to the weakness of God. And when I'm weak, he is strong. It's an amazing thing. It says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weakness." You know how crazy that sounds? Man, I got, you know what people brag about? I got three boats, I got five houses, I got six girlfriends, I got this, I got that. Well, when you're a Christian, the Bible says you need to brag about the fact that I screwed up and I didn't do right and I wish I could have done something different and my spirit is willing but my flesh is weak. Because the Bible says when we get dependent upon God, that's when we're strong. Not when you think you got it all together. Not when you think that you don't even need grace. Listen, on your best day, you're going to need the grace of God. And you're not saved because of your works. You're not saved because you do such great things. You're saved by grace and grace alone through the blood of Jesus Christ. You have been set free. You had nothing to do with it. It's crazy. And I'm not talking about Paul says, so I take pleasure in weakness. What? You take pleasure in what? I take pleasure in weakness. I take pleasure in insults. I take pleasure in catastrophes. I take pleasure in persecutions. I take pleasures in pressures because of Christ. And he says, I've learned that when I'm weak, when I got a thorn, when he hadn't taken the cancer away, I'm strong. I'm not talking about a worldly weakness where somebody stomps on you and manipulates you. I'm talking about total unconditional dependence upon God. I mean, after all, what is the cross? It's total unconditional dependence upon God. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he didn't. He stayed up there, didn't he? In meekness, in humility, in brokenness, and in weakness, he stayed. And that's the thing that gets me. Why did he have to come in weakness? I'm going to let the cat out of the bag. To make you feel at home with him. Do you hear me? To make you feel at home with him. You ever been around powerful people? You get nervous in front of them. I played golf with a billionaire one time. I hit the ball in the woods over and over again. I think some of us have had some bad preaching that said, here's humans in their sin, and God, because he hates sin so much, says, when you get your act together, call me. I'm staying over here until you get it together. Now, I got to be honest. Number one, that's not my experience. You know what I've grown to realize is that some of the preaching I heard as a kid is wrong. That when I'm sitting here in sin or I'm sitting in here with a thorn, God is not a Greek God. He didn't walk away. But when he sees your suffering and your weakness, he comes closer. We somehow think that when God sees sin, he's got to run because the Bible says he turned his head on Jesus when he took the sins of the world upon his shoulders. But see, Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave and nullified your sin if you've accepted Christ. And so what I'm trying to say in a very simple way today is that a lot of you think there's this space in between you and God, and it doesn't exist. Because a theology of weakness is actually a theology of divine empowerment. You know what God is telling each and every one of you today? Who's got a thorn? Can I see hands? My grace is greater than your difficulties. You know that scripture in 2 Corinthians 12 and 7, 11 that says, when you dwell upon the power of Christ, it actually means that the power of Christ rests on you and takes up residency in you. You know that word where it says my power is perfected in your weakness? That word perfected actually means that as your weakness grows, my power in you grows. Maybe the weakness was an example. Maybe it was a hidden message, encrypted, that I don't want you running from me. I don't want you to think I'm getting ready to hit you. I want you to know I get it. I know what it's like to live in these bodies. And I don't want you to think that there's a space in between you and me, because if you fear me, you'll never get here. Where it says my grace is sufficient is actually a Hebrew idiom. It says my power will tabernacle with your weakness. It means dwelling place. That's a big Old Testament word, that I'll actually dwell with you. But listen to this, folks. If you don't hear anything else I say, you need to hear this, because when I read this, I read it again and again. The first thing I read this morning when I got to the office is I went back through my notes trying to find that one phrase, because the actual Hebrew of my grace is sufficient is this. My kindness is all you need. So when you got a thorn, you know what God's answer is? Not you dirty, rotten piece of scum. That's the way some preachers preach. When you got a problem, an addiction, when you're broken, God's answer to you is not get out of my presence. How many of you know that coming into the presence of God heals a person? Can I see your hands? Then why do you think he'd want to remove you from his presence when you're struggling? He says, my kindness is all that you need. Make sure you get this simple, deep, theological, exegetical, hermeneutical piece of mastery this morning. If you've got a thorn and you've prayed three times for him to remove it, his answer to you is, my kindness is all that you need. How does that change your image of God? If you thought God was grumpy, if you thought God was mean, if you thought God was temperamental like those Hercules and Zeus and Hades and the Greek gods or Isis and Egypt, if you think God is kind of like in a good mood one day and a bad mood one day, how does that affect how you approach him? If you knew, Danny, good to see you, buddy. If you knew that you could come to God just as you were. His intentions is not to remain just as you were. But you could come to God just as I am. I mean, we sing that, Marshall, but we don't really believe it. Because we like to hide our thorns and we like to say, I'll get this thorn taken care of and then I'll get close to God. That's the greatest lie, Satan, you've ever been told in your whole life. That somehow I'll get it together and then get close to God. God says, no, it's in your thorn that I'll bring the word alive. It's in your thorn I'll bring fellowship alive. It's in your thorn I'll bring your prayer life to life. It's in your thorn I'll make worship real. It's in your thorn I'll cause myself to use you. It's in your thorn. Now listen to me. We live in a world where they say you got to get power through strength. Sex, money, power, positions. Now, how many of you are Christians? Can I see your hands again just so I'm in the right crowd? In this kingdom, you get power through powerlessness. Didn't make a lot of sense to me. If I was God, I probably wouldn't have set it up that way. But you mean when I come to God on a Monday with powerlessness, the Bible comes alive to me. When I come to God in powerlessness and a thorn, fellowship becomes rich. When I come to God with powerlessness, my prayer and worship and how he uses me, that he actually uses me when I'm at my weakest, yes. Now here's what he says. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. He comes in weakness so we would feel at home with him, ladies and gentlemen. Jeremy, come up, but don't play. I know you get tickled when I say that. But I want to read you a scripture. Listen carefully to me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 7 through 16 says, "Now we have this treasure in clay jars, flesh, so that this extraordinary power may be from God and not from us. We're pressured on every way, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed. We're always carrying the death of Jesus in our body, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in that very same body. For we who live are always given over to death because of Jesus, so that Jesus' life may also be revealed through our mortal flesh and our weakness. So death is working in us, but life is too. And since we have the same spirit of faith in keeping with what is written in the Word of God, I believe and therefore I speak and also believe and speak that we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead is going to raise us also, and that we will be present with Jesus, and indeed everything is for our benefit, so that grace might be extended to me." And the last words after it says grace might be extended to you in your thorn is, "Therefore, do not give up." Don't give up. 2 Corinthians 1 and 8 says, "Beyond our strength, we were beaten, perplexed. But all of a sudden, through the weakness of God, God got a hold of me." Jesus knows exactly how hard it is to live in these bodies. When you read 2 Corinthians 13 and 4, it says, "For to be sure of something, he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by God's power. And likewise, we who are weak, yet by God's power, live with him in our dwelling place." One of the things that I love about God is when God sees me, he doesn't see my screw-ups, he doesn't see my sins, he doesn't see my thorns, he doesn't see my mistakes, he doesn't see how I promised him, "God, if you'll do it one more time, I promise I'll never do it again." No, what God sees is the blood of Jesus Christ, and he said, "I am faithful and just to forgive you of all of your sins and cleanse you from all of your unrighteousness." He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." He said, "I'll stick with you closer than a brother." Somebody say amen. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 through 29 said, "God chose the weak to shame the wise." Here's a secret you won't ever hear on Christian television. I got good news for all of you with thorns. Christianity does not eliminate weakness. Christianity means that God's power is manifested. I'm about to have a revival up here right by myself. Christianity does not eliminate weakness. How do you think that David can murder somebody, his best friend? It's one thing to murder somebody you don't know. It's another thing to murder your best friend and then steal his wife. How many of you know that's a low-down, dirty dog? And you know what God said about him? "He's a man after my own heart." Moses murdered a guy out of anger. Anybody ever got anger problems? Don't point, just say yeah. And God turned around and used him to build a nation. The thing that I love about Christianity that you'll never find in Egyptology, and you'll never find in the Greek gods, and you'll never find in any other religion, is that God doesn't hide the sins and the frailties of his people. When David slept with Bathsheba, the whole world knew about it. He didn't hide it. You want to know why? Because the power was never in David's righteousness. The power was never in Peter's righteousness. The power was never in St. Thomas's righteousness. The power was never in Matthew's righteousness. The power was never in the woman at the well and her righteousness. The power of God is through the righteousness of Christ Jesus. It is for by grace we are saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. Man's weakness manifests God's power. You mean if I'm weak, I attract God's power? Yep. Now that makes me feel a little better. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. Romans 8 and 3 says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, in weakness, and condemned it by not sinning. Hebrews says he did it one time and he doesn't intend on having to do it a second time. Hebrews 9:24. Colossians 2:14 says, and we're going to get into this in Easter, he canceled your debt. Amen. I'd be clapping too. I could say this in the Greek. I can say it in the Hebrew. I can read it to you in Latin. But I think I'll just say it in English. He canceled your debt. He didn't just cancel half of it. And he didn't just cancel the part today without canceling the part tomorrow. The Bible says, he that endures unto the end is saved. Amen? Now I want you to listen to me. Go to Isaiah 6 and 1. And let me show you how to live for God with a thorn in your flesh. Isaiah 6 and 1 says, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Now I'm hoping to find his grave. It's on Mount of Olives next week. But King Uzziah is a symbol of tremendous pride. He was diseased in his mind. He thought he could go in and light incense in the temple, and God told him, no, you're forbidden. And he said, I'll do what I want to do. I won't listen to God. So when you hear the phrase, in the year the king Uzziah died, what Isaiah is saying is it represents the day that pride died in me. And Isaiah 6 and 1 says, in the train of the robe, which is always the length of the train, actually tells you how powerful the king was. That the train was so long that it filled the temple. And it said above him, Jesus, were these things called seraphims. Those are animal beings that are created with eyes all over their head and they have six wings. The Bible says that you will see them when you get to heaven, for they will be sitting along the sides of the throne of God. They have eyes everywhere because it represents all spiritual knowledge. But I want you to notice something about a created being who lives in holiness 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All you old school Pentecostals and Baptist fundamentalists, listen up to me today. These creatures that only knew one word, holy, holy, holy. The Bible said they had six wings, and with two wings they covered their faces. And with two wings they covered their feet. And with two wings they flew. And they would call out one to another around the throne of God, holy, 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 holy. Creatures that have never experienced a thorn. Isaiah 6 and 2 says these seraphims took two wings and covered their eyes. What does that mean? It means they weren't looking where they were going. They relied on something else other than their own righteousness. They relied on something else other than their own strength and their own ability. Their eyes were closed, but yet they flew and they said, holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty. The Bible says they covered their feet, which means they were flying by divine power. It wasn't their own strength they were going in holiness. They covered their eyes, and so they were being led by God, not looking at their own righteousness, but God's righteousness. Because the word holy in Hebrew actually means separation from sin and death without equal. It means there's no one who is equal to God's ability not to be sinful. But look at what a man did when he saw the seraphims. What most people don't know about Isaiah is that he was probably the most intellectually trained scholar of his time. And he said one of those seraphims went, an angel, and took a coal from the altar of God and placed it on my lips. A coal is the symbol of the cross of Jesus. And when the coal of the cross touched the lips of the prophet, in the year that pride died in his life, he did not say, he said, "Oh, I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm undone." That's true. But don't concentrate on what he had as self-revelation when he was in the holiness of God. Look at what happened after God's mercy touched him. He didn't say, "I'm not good enough. My thorn's too big." No, he said, "I get it finally. You're not mad at me. Here I am. Send me." When you get to the point when you realize that it's not your righteousness that's flying you, it's not your righteousness that's guiding you, but the righteousness of Christ Jesus, and if the cross ever touches your lips the right way, you'll stop saying, "I'm not good enough." You'll stop saying, "I'm unworthy." And you will realize that there's no distance between you and God. And that in your weakness, he'll build strength. Anybody get anything out of that? Now listen. Go ahead, Jeremy. Very simple, vanilla. If you got a thorn, all God needs, all you need is God's kindness. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I pastor enough of people, thousands of them, and I know you got thorns. I got thorns. But if you got a thorn and you want to bring it to God, it doesn't mean you're not saved. It means you're actually saved and mature. I'm going to get honest about it. But if you've got a thorn and it won't go away, you've given it to God, you said, "God, you got to do something about it." And that thorn keeps you away from living for God on a Monday. I just want you, I'm not going to lay hands on you, I'm just going to pray over you. I just want you to get up when I count to three, and I want you to come and stand down here and say, "God, I bring my broken toys to you today." Pastor Michael told me that I could, and that if I went up there, you wouldn't reject me. Pastor Michael said that if I got up, you would accept me and not condemn me. If I got up with my thorn, that I'd have mercy and I would lose the fear if I ever realized the mercy of coming to you. If you got a thorn and you've asked God to remove it and he hasn't, and you want to tell God today that "I accept the answer, that your kindness is all that I need," come now. 1, 2, 3.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Got a thorn?
That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Sing it again slowly like that, because there's people who I know need to be up here and you're not.
Amazing grace, how that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I found. Was blind, but now
right there. You know I'm talking to you. Get up. Don't sit on God. It could be the day takes the thorn away. Right over in here.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.